You have your scriptures with you this morning. I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. If you'd like to use one of the pew Bibles around you, it's page 856. Luke 1, 39 to 56 will be the focus this morning. Last week, we read of the great announcement made to the Virgin Mary when Angel Gabriel showed up to this young teenager. If you recall, Mary was probably 12 to 14 years old. That's usually the age of these teenagers when they were betrothed to be married. And the angel told Mary that she would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, give birth to the long-awaited Messiah. Again, you have to try to put yourselves in her situation to feel the weight, the awe, the wonder, the mysteriousness, everything that's happening, not only to her, but for the world. That she'd give birth to this Messiah, that he would be great, called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God would give him the throne of his father David, that he would reign forever, and his kingdom would be no end. This is no ordinary person. This is God in the flesh. She also told, if you recall last week, she was told that her older relative Elizabeth, who was too old to have children, she was called barren. She was way beyond the years of typically giving birth. The angel Gabriel told Mary, your relative Elizabeth is also with child, reminding Mary that nothing is impossible with God. And so not only is she awestruck by the announcement made to her about her situation, now she learns about Elizabeth. She's pregnant as well. And so our text is this, what they call the great visitation. Mary has learned these things, and now she's going to go down to Judah to visit Elizabeth. And as she goes on this trip to visit her, we will see and hear an explosion of uncontainable joy. Kind of picture a can of pop when it's shaken up, waiting to be released. When these two ladies meet each other, the joy and excitement of what is happening is just uncontainable, and we see an overflowing of joy. It's a joy that surpasses that of a child receiving a puppy at Christmas time. It's the joy that surpasses the joy of Pitt winning its championship last night. Exciting for them. It's a joy. It's a holy joy of these two women, and then the child in the womb of Elizabeth, John the Baptist. It's just kind of like an explosion in response to the power and grace of God in their lives of the coming of Jesus. The promises of God are coming to pass, and these three individuals, Mary, Elizabeth, and John the Baptist, are instruments in the fulfillment of the coming Messiah. And as we read through the text, you can just almost imagine Elizabeth and Mary just grabbing each other, holding each other, laughing, dancing in circles, and in utter amazement at everything that's been announced to them and it's coming to pass and God is using them. So I want us to think about joy in our lives, a joy that's hopefully uncontainable at times, our joy in the Lord Jesus, and ask, you know, do we possess that kind of joy? It's a joy that's a gift that comes from another world, from another dimension, from God Himself. It's a gift of joy that's given to lost people, to humble people, to sinners who know they aren't spiritually well, who know they need a Savior, a Redeemer. It's a joy given to those who are unsatisfied with the corruption in their hearts and the corruption in the land and in the world. It's a joy that's found in belonging to Jesus. If you're like me, we long for how things were back in the beginning of time when God walked with man in the cool of the day, when all things were good, even in his relationship with his spouse. There was no fighting, everything was just good. We long for that. And this passage reminds us that God offers a tired, sinful, and broken world a thrill of hope, because Jesus has come. With the coming of Jesus, there's a cause for the weary world to rejoice. With the coming of Jesus, there's a new and glorious morn. The one who will make all things new is now here in the womb of Mary. C.S. Lewis, when speaking of joy, he says, "Joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. So serious that God would send Jesus to live for you, to die for you, to find you, to awaken you, to restore you, and give you a joy and a peace that the world cannot steal from you or erase. Joy. Holy joy in Jesus. Do you possess it? And if you do possess it, is it a joy that's growing more and more that seeks to magnify the Lord? Is it a joy in the Lord that continues to become heightened, intensified, and at times uncontainable? Or is it being diminished by the cares of the world? The cares of our lives, the struggles. As the old hymn says, O soul, are you weary? Are you troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look for a Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look in his face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and of his grace. It's my prayer as we walk through Christmas season and we sing the song, Joy to the World, that it would be true and manifest and intensify in our hearts the joy that Christ brings. May we magnify the Lord more and more as we rejoice in God our Savior. Let me pray and we'll walk through this text this morning as we think about these things. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts again. Lord, we know when we come to faith, you give us a joy. But the things of life can start to suppress it, to hide it, to hinder it. Maybe we even forget about the riches and glories that we have in Christ. Whether it's the struggle just to pay bills, whether it's the struggle just to get out of bed, whether it's the struggle of the mind or struggle of what's coming down the road, Lord. We can easily lose track of that joy. So this morning, Lord, as we continue to walk through these texts that tell us of the great truth of a Savior who would come to this tired, hurting, sinful, broken world to cause a joy to well up in us, a joy and a peace that only you can bring, Lord. I pray that you would reveal these things to us of how in this season and in each day, no matter what we're going through, that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus, to consider the awe and the wonder of his coming, of his work, of his rule and reign now, and we could have that joy and peace each day. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning as we hear you in this word, make these things real in each heart here and online this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we'll begin walking through the text. We'll look at verses 39 to 41 as we begin. Luke writes, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." So I just want us to begin thinking about point one there in your sermon notes, that magnifying joy begins when the Holy One, God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, intersects with our lives. Mary, after hearing that her older relative Elizabeth was pregnant, she left everything and made her way to Judah. It would have been about an 80 to 100 mile trip for her. This young teenager probably took some others with her, I'm assuming. It would not have been an easy trip, maybe 3 to 5 day trip, but no matter. Mary, who had received this news from the angel, wanted to go see Elizabeth so that they both could share what the Lord was doing in their lives and in the world. After their greeting of one another, you can be sure they sat down and they shared with each other exactly what had happened as the angel Gabriel visited Zechariah and Gabriel visited Mary, and they would share with each other the great and awesome announcements made to one another about the coming Messiah. And it says, as Mary entered their house and greeted them, the baby leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. She was 6 months pregnant. Now, I can't understand as a man what it feels like to have a baby move around in the womb. Some of you ladies have been blessed with that experience of a child moving around. But when Mary entered this room, John leapt. This was a baby. This is a person. And he knew when Mary walked in that Jesus was in his presence. And John leaped in the womb of Mary. He's leaping, and it reminds me, some of you may have seen that funny Dorito commercial where the baby, this woman's going to give birth, and they have an ultrasound on her, and the dad's there eating Doritos for some unknown reason. And of course, the baby senses the Dorito, and the dad's playing with the baby, and the baby's reaching for the Dorito, and he's moving it all around, and he moves it back and forth, and he moves it such a way where the baby kicks and flies out because it wants the Dorito. But it's just that imagery of this baby just dancing around in a womb. That's what it reminds me of. But John leaped. He knew by the Spirit of God, because we read earlier, a couple weeks ago, that when John was born, that he would be filled with the Spirit of God, even in the time of Elizabeth's womb. He leapt because he knew the Holy One was right there in his midst. The one who created John, the one who created Elizabeth, the one who created Mary, was now in the womb of Mary. God in the flesh. I like what Philip Ryken writes. He says, John the Baptist was the only child to ever use a womb for a pulpit. In the liquid darkness of his mother's womb, the unborn child kicked for joy, leaping at the sound of Mary's voice, and in this way preparing people for the coming of Christ. The Holy One had intersected their lives. The Holy One had invaded their world. And like the rest of us, the Holy One was entering this world through the womb of a mother. And John and Elizabeth and Mary, they have uncontainable joy. He is here. The Messiah is here. The child who would be Savior, King, and Redeemer. He's here. What these ladies shared was truly unique. The Holy One had intersected their lives. They alone would be chosen to bear the children of promise. And they were the first to know that God had come to redeem his people. But even you, as you're awakened to the realities of who Jesus is, and you grow in those realities more and more, magnifying joy should be birthed and growing in your hearts as you continue to grow in Christ. Consider. Remember the time when you discovered who Jesus was, and all his holiness, and all his splendor, and all his mercy. Do you remember the time when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you remember that time when the Holy Spirit intersected your life with the joy and peace of forgiveness and life found in Christ? Perhaps some of you don't remember that specific moment, but you know God has invaded your heart and Jesus sits as King and Lord over it, and you're forever thankful. I know I'll never forget the day. I had all these assumptions that I knew God, that I belonged to God, and I was just playing games. I was messing around with idolatry and didn't even know it, and he showed up in a powerful way, saying, "You think you know me, but you don't. Stop playing." And as I continue to grow and become more and more the depth of my sin, my joy grows because his grace and his mercy and his cleansing found in the blood of Christ who takes it all away. There's that moment, and the continual moment where God intersects our lives and everything's changed. Magnifying joy begins when that Holy One intersects your life. Walter Knight writes, he says, "Joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing the King is resident today." I pray that Jesus is King of your heart. I pray He's Savior of your heart, that He's intersected your life where you've become awakened to the great reality of who Christ is. Have you sensed His touch? Have you sensed His calling? Have you sensed His drawing you to Himself? He says, "Why are you playing? Why are you ignoring? Why do you keep chasing these other things, thinking they satisfy?" And Jesus says, "Come to Me. It's Me." The burden of your sins, the burden of your guilt, the search for meaning and purpose and direction in life, that burden can be removed from you if you turn to Christ. As He says, "Come to Me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, learn from Me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Have you sensed Him calling? Believe Him. Even if you've been walking with Christ for a while and the burdens of the world, the cares of the world have just kind of overwhelmed you and flooded you where you can't even think, can't even focus or meditate on the wonders of Christ and the glories of Christ, who would love you, who has sent His Spirit into you and is guiding you. And believe Him. Fall down on your knees before Him. And let that joy just continue to well up in your soul. And we see point two, that magnifying joy is the result of belief. We continue in verse 41. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And as we've been walking through this sermon series, hopefully you're starting to notice the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in these narratives. The Holy Spirit, the Holy One, is intersecting the lives of people. The Holy Spirit would fill John while in the womb of Elizabeth. Jesus would be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, moved to know, to understand, and believe that Jesus, that baby in the womb of Mary, is her Lord. She cries out with a loud voice, "Mary, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The Spirit of God is working in her life, and she's awakened to these realities that her Savior, Redeemer, is right there in the womb of Mary. Jesus, the one in Mary's womb, is her Lord. Through the working of the Holy Spirit in her life, she believes, and so does Mary. Because Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her." Through the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift of faith. And when we believe, magnifying joy is the result. It starts to grow. When you're wrestling with forgiveness, when you're wrestling with guilt, and if you want joy, Scripture says, believe in Jesus. If you want the joy of knowing eternal life, that there's hope beyond the grave, that you don't have to face the wrath of God, the Scriptures say, believe in Jesus. If you want the joy of knowing how to live this life, Scriptures say, believe and follow Jesus. If you want the joy of knowing that all things work together for good, even the trials, the storms, the difficulties of life, the Scriptures say, entrust your soul, your life, to Jesus. As the writer of Hebrews says in 11:6, he says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Forever, who would ever draw near to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. That's why Paul would say in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But the life I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. J.C. Rao, and speaking of faith, he says, what is the simple story of all the Old Testament saints from Abel downwards, but a narrative of redeemed sinners who believed and were blessed? By faith, they embraced the promises. By faith, they lived. By faith, they walked. By faith, they endured hardships. By faith, they looked to an unseen Savior and good things yet to come. By faith, they battled with the world, the flesh, and the devil. By faith, they overcame and got safely home. Of this godly company, the Virgin Mary was proving herself as one, just like the other saints, when Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed what the Lord has said and would be accomplished to her. Do you believe? Do you believe what Jesus says to you? One of my favorite passages is 1 Peter 1. Sorry, when we had the banners up, it has that expression, experiencing and sharing the living hope of Christ. Listen to these words and believe them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. So that now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You hear this idea of rejoicing, a joy that can not even be expressed at times. It's so real, it's so deep, it's so overwhelming. That when you have that faith, when you just believe that this God who would send Christ, that you can have joy, magnifying joy. Mary's hearing all these things and she continues to sing. She begins to sing this song of praise that's called the Magnificat. And we see point 3 here, that magnifying joy is consumed with magnifying God. Verse 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home. The text doesn't say, but she remained 3 months, and I wonder, right before Elizabeth gave birth or right after? The scriptures don't say. It's just interesting. After 3 months, Mary goes back home. This song is what's known as the Magnificat. It's a Christmas carol, if you will. It's one of the many songs that we'll see in the book of Luke, and it's Mary's song to the Lord. And her desire, as you see at the beginning, is to magnify the Lord, to rejoice in God, her Savior. R.C. Sproul says, when Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," this is what she means. My soul has been saturated by the sense of the divine and by his presence and by his mercy. So from the deepest part of my being, I want to exalt him. Let me read it to you again. She says, my soul has been saturated by the sense of the divine. Ask yourself, are there things real in your life? Do you sense the Holy One? Are we too busy to even see it? She's overwhelmed with the sense of his divine, with the divine and the sense of his presence and the sense of his mercy, but she can't help but sing, exalt, and magnify the Lord. Mary loved her Lord and she knew her theology. Again, she's a young teenager, 12 to 14 perhaps. And as she's singing this song, she's pulling from Old Testament texts. She's pulling from Psalms, she's pulling from the law, and especially 1 Samuel 2, where Hannah, she sings to the Lord her song after she was able to have a child and dedicates him to the Lord. Mary loved the Lord. She loved the promises of the Lord. She held on to these as a teenager. This is my God. This is my Savior. This is what I've been taught. This is what I believe. This is what I exalt in. This is what I'm experiencing as Jesus is being conceived in her womb. She believes him and she sings with joy. She sings with worship, with praise. It can't be no longer contained. She's not just the mother of a child, but the mother of her Savior is in her womb and she sings. And you can see all the different attributes of God that she sings about. She talks about the God who looks to the humble, the God who lifts up the humble. She talks about the God who is mighty, this creator who's done great things and advancing his goal and his will in the lives of the world. She talks about this God who is holy, altogether righteous and good, and no one like him. She talks about his mercy. He scatters the proud and keeps covenant with Abraham. She can't help but sing the God who keeps promises. Martin Luther says about this song, he says, the song is about the great works and deeds of God. And it's for the strengthening of our faith, for the comforting of those of low degree, and for the terrifying of the mighty ones of earth that oppose him. If you look at that song, much of it written in the past tense, he has done this, he has done this, he has done this. Basically saying, yeah, you can look to the past, but you can also take those truths and look to the future. For what God says, you might as well say it's already as good as done. Magnifying joy is consumed with magnifying God, specifically in his word. I had the opportunity to hunt some yesterday. I'd seen one of the most beautiful sunsets. It just takes your breath away. I got to see a fox scurrying about in a field. Someone shared with me that they went to Phipps and you see these flowers. Then you look at each other made in the image of God. It just speaks of the sin and the depravity of our hearts where we just miss all these things that scream glory to God. Just scream glory to God. We're missing it. And the same God who loves us in our sin would send a Savior to die for us, to redeem us, to make us new, so that we may put away sin. What more glorious thing can there be? As Isaiah says, the Lord says, I am the Lord. There's no other. Besides me, there's no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, the people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there's none besides me. I am the Lord. There's no other. I form light, create darkness. I make well-being, I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. It's my prayer that we grow in our magnifying joy of magnifying this great God, where we can say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." Not just this compartment, not this department, but all that is within me. We praise and bless his holy name. Again, C.S. Lewis says, "Joy is the serious business of heaven. The serious business of heaven. So serious that God would send his Son to live for you, to die for you, to find you, to awaken you, to restore you, to forgive you, give you peace, joy, eternal life. That's how serious God is, so that you can have joy in him. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious grace." Believe in Jesus. He gives you a joy and a hope that the world cannot erase. But you must believe. You must trust. And may we sing with the rest of God's people, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for the things that are right in front of our faces, the things that scream glory to you. Give us eyes of faith to see, eyes of faith to believe. Lord God, fill us with your Spirit that would be continued awakened to those things that are distracting us from you, that these temptations in life that want to rob us of the glory and joy that we can have in you. Lord, empower us and fill us each day. Help us to put on that full armor of God, as Satan would love to throw darts at us. As soon as we leave this service today, there will be things happening that will try to rob us of our joy and our peace. I pray that you would seal our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would truly know who we are in Christ. Call even one here now who's hearing these words, that they would believe and be forgiven. They would stop playing with the God who created them. The God who would love them so much that he would enter this world through the womb of Mary to come to do everything to deal with our sin and give us life abundantly. Lord, we thank you for this time to worship, to think upon these things, and just to enjoy you, to proclaim to the world this day as we rest in Christ. Our hope is in Christ alone. As we proclaim his death till he comes, we pray these in his name. Amen.